Good morning. Thank you for allowing us to come into your home or your space, wherever it is you're listening and watching this morning. I want to just welcome you, especially on this Pentecost Sunday, as around the world people are celebrating the initial outpouring of the Holy Spirit that birthed the Church of Jesus Christ. And I believe there's something special about today, along with many others. And so I want to incorporate what we're doing today in an acknowledgement of that outpouring of the Spirit, because I believe we're moving into a season of the Spirit's working that is especially vital to your life, and my life, and to this planet. So thank you for allowing us to come today. I also want to thank you for your giving to our Crown of Blessing Fund as we're continuing to meet people who are going through desperate times and going through difficulties in a number of ways. God is using your sowing, your giving. And so thank you for giving to that Crown of Blessing Fund that's available just by designating it and on the website. When you hit donate, you can designate the Crown of Blessing Fund or your tithes, offerings, whatever you choose. But thank you for that. Let's bow our hearts in prayer. Father, we thank you today that on this day of celebrating the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, there would come to each one of us, Lord, a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit, a fresh sense of your presence, a fresh knowing of your mind and your heart, even as it was revealed in the early church on that wonderful day mentioned in Acts chapter 2. Lord, you poured out your Spirit, and you said in the last days you'd pour it out again. And so we say, yes, Lord, come and pour out your Spirit on us all. Come and shake our lives, Lord, up with the outpouring of your Spirit, just as you did in those days, and cause us to be like those people that we might, Lord, take forward your purposes in the earth. May the ears of everyone who listens today be opened, naturally and spiritually, in Jesus' name, to hear the voice of the Lord and to receive the power and the grace that is mixed in the words that come from heaven to the heart of those who would believe. Thank you, Lord, today for signs and wonders and miracles that happen even as we speak, because your word is so powerful. It shakes the heavens. It breaks the cedars. It causes everything to take place that we call our ordered world. Thank you, Lord, for doing amazing things even as we hear the word of God today. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to just kind of go to the application part of the message first, just in case I would fail to remember to do this at the end. But I have something that I want to encourage you to take part in, and I'll go into it a little bit more a little bit later. But I'd like to encourage you to get a journal, and I've got an example here, because the title of my message today is From Faith to Faith in the Last Days, and the subtitle is Harvest of Miracles. I'd like you to say that today. Wherever you are, say Harvest of Miracles. Now, I don't know what that sounds like to you, but it sounds good to me. It sounds good that there would be a harvest of miracles. And I would like to encourage you and show you in a practical way how you can grow that harvest of miracles. And part of that is something very simple, very practical. And so I've produced something as a sample that you can produce. If you can't make one yourself, write to me and I'll make one for you. But I've just bought a simple, inexpensive journal, and I've put on the front of it Harvest of Miracles and a passage of Scripture from Hosea 6 and 11. It says, "For you, a harvest is appointed." I believe that's a message to you. God has a harvest for you, a harvest of miracles for you, for me, for us, for all of his people around the globe. And he's speaking to you today that if you want a harvest of miracles, you need to take those very specific and definite steps to grow such a harvest. And so my practical suggestion is that you get a little journal and you put on the front of it, harvest of miracles, and the scripture, Hosea 6 and 11, for you a harvest is appointed. And I've given some little instruction there just so you're reminded as to what you put in that book. Write the date that you heard something from the Lord. Write the word that you heard. Write the scripture reference that backs it. And then keep it near and handy to you so you can write in it again and remind yourself of what's in it. And let me just kind of pause for a second and tell you why I think this is important. I actually wish I had done this years ago. But I want to record in this every miracle, every great miracle that God has done in my life in this book. And anyone in my family can come and they can make their own book or they can put something in this book. Because I want to give this book to my children and my grandchildren. I want Debbie and Jesse and Joel and Annie Mae and Micah and Lucia all to have access to this book so that when I'm gone, they can open this book and they say, look what God has done. This is the God that we serve. And this isn't just a sentiment from an old man. This is entirely founded in the eternal Word of God. And I will show you that today as we look into it. So I just want to give you this practical suggestion because I won't always be here and I don't really have anything of earthly matters, earthly things that has any lasting value, but I want to leave something that has lasting value. Lasting value in that it can enable somebody else's walk with God in a wonderful way. And so I'd like to encourage you to do that. And I'll come back to that a little later in the message. But I'd like for us to go to our key scriptures here in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, the Bible says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who attends church. No, it doesn't say that. Salvation isn't power to people who go to church or attend services. It is to everyone who believes. Power is only released to those who believe. But it is released to those who will believe. And he goes on to say, to the Jew first, the gospel came first to the Jews, and then also for the Greek or the non-Jews. And then he goes on to say, for the righteousness of God is revealed from heaven. We can have that second half of that, this verse 17 there. Thank you. For the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. From faith to faith. From faith to faith. So you start off believing. You get to know Christ as your Savior by repenting of your sins. And that's the foundation of your faith. That's the beginning of your faith. And you believe and you receive salvation. But your right walk with God is a progression of that faith, and a development of that faith through the whole of your life. And so that's what we're talking about. Because if there's anything that's going to be more precious to you than anything you own and anything you've ever done, it's going to be your faith in these days. Not only in the days, because sometimes people say, well, we're getting out of lockdown soon, so we'll go back to normal. Let me tell you, our world will never be the same. And if I read the Bible correctly and discern it correctly, down the road there's some challenges bigger than Corona. So you're going to need something that is incredibly powerful, and that is your faith. And so that's why I'm parked, I'm camped, I'm sustained in this subject, because I believe that we not only need it now, but we're going to need it in the future. And our life journey is to be a continual growth and progression of our faith. You know, God gave me a verse many years ago before I ever came to the UK and before I ever started to pioneer a church here in London. And this verse has been in my spirit for a long time. And it is Jeremiah 33 and verse 3, where the Bible says, "Call unto me, and I will answer you. And I will tell you," or some translations say, "and I will show you great and mighty things you do not know." You know, I've seen some great things. I don't know if I've seen some really mighty things, though I'm sure that's to some degree relative. You've seen some things, and maybe other people have seen other things by virtue of your observation or experience with a miracle. And you might classify those or define those as great things or even mighty things. But there is in my heart an undying longing for the great and mighty things promised in that verse. And as I said, I have seen some great things. I'm not certain I've seen some mighty things in terms of miracles that are observable. I've seen great things and mighty things in terms of creation and so on, like anyone else. But God says, I want to come into your world with some great and mighty things. And I believe that it's vital for us to know how those great and mighty things would come into our world of experience and our circumference of living. And that's why we're on this subject of faith. Faith is so vital to this process. You know, my daughter and I went for a walk just the other day, and as we were walking to the country park, reserve, nature reserve, we passed a man who had a t-shirt on. And he had big letters on his t-shirt that said, "Faith Abandoned." And, you know, with social distancing and so on and so forth, we went on by, and it really struck me, his t-shirt. Why would a person wear a t-shirt that says, "Faith Abandoned"? Now, I have no why, and I have no reason. I have no understanding why, and I'm sure you would have probably all kinds of speculative ideas, as I would, as to why he might have that. But certainly, it's done in ignorance. It's because he really doesn't understand the significance of faith to think that you could somehow do better by abandoning faith. And I want to encourage you today to look at the faith level in your life and ask yourself a very vital question. Is your faith producing like you would like it to? And you may be comfortable with how your faith has produced. I don't know. But I want to just put that question to you. Is your faith producing in the way that you would really like it to? You know, I'll admit that I have accommodated too many things in my life journey and allowed them to become an accepted norm for my life. And so the challenge to me and the challenge to us all is that we come again to this subject of faith and see how God would work with the small and the great in our lives simply because we become faith people. What's a faith person, Pastor? A faith person is somebody who has a response to everything in life that is faith-filled based upon the written and the spoken word of God, and the miraculous unfolds as a result of it. You know, I'm told that there are places in South America where the topsoil is so deep, 100 feet deep, that if you put a seed in the ground, that in one day, a plant will grow 12 inches. And in a week's time, it'll be over your head. Because the ground is so fertile that there is rapid growth. And I believe God wants us to cultivate the kind of heart that when the seed of the written and the spoken word come in, when it comes in and faith is generated, there is a production of the supernatural grace and the power of God unlike we've ever seen. You know, sometimes we think, well, I only need my faith if I face some life-threatening situation or something major. And I hadn't realized something this last week. I had ordered some things that needed to be delivered to me by a certain time. And so because of the situation right now and all kinds of stuff that's going on, after I ordered them, I said aloud, I command this and this to come to me in Jesus' name. And I didn't say anything about it. I didn't think anything about it. I just walked away. Well, the time came for their delivery. And the delivery time came and went. And so I went back to the contract that I had with the seller, and I looked at the fine print, and it said, if your items were sent on such and such a day and they didn't arrive, it'd be 3 days until they were. And I thought, well, that can't be. I paid to have them delivered on a certain day. And so I kind of walked away from that. I was just trying to kind of, and I'd forgotten. I had commanded them to come. And a few minutes later, I had another notification that despite what their stated policy was, they were going to deliver it that day in time. What am I saying? I'm saying that your faith will work if you will work it. And so I want to take as much mystery out of this whole process of faith as I possibly can by bringing together lots of things that the Scripture has to say, so that faith is not a mystery. It's not something, well, if you're lucky, it happens. I want to help us all develop and grow our faith so that we become faith people with faith instincts. And I shared with you that last week, this simple diagram that faith is the core of your life. And I think there's a vital connection to this on this day of Pentecost, is that grace, we want grace, we want God's favor, God's helps, God's supernatural to pour into every part of our life with miracles, with healing, with righteous living, with financial provision, with victory, with our ministry efforts, with relationship to God, all kinds of ways. We want the grace and the favor of God. That's how we do well in life, the favor of God. And so we understand how faith is so vital to that. And today is Pentecost Sunday, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the release of faith to the early church is no coincidence, because faith is fundamentally a work of the Holy Spirit. And so we want to dig into this today and examine really how does the Holy Spirit bring faith to your life and my life so that we can, as the Bible says, please God, but also see the manifestation of all the promises that God has made and will make to us in the course of our journey. And we can see that produce and we can deliver the message to this world. We possess the Lord Jesus on the inside, the same one who walked the shores of Galilee. There is nothing impossible for us, as the scripture behind me says, nothing impossible for us, because we are a faith people. And you, I'm telling you today, you are a faith person. Regardless of your history, regardless how you feel, regardless of how you have failed in the time past and questions you don't have answers for at the moment, you are still fundamentally in your spiritual makeup a faith person. And so I'd like you to say it aloud today. I am a faith person. Say it today. I am a faith person. And so let's go to the scriptures this morning as we look at some of these components we're examining today in our series on faith in these last days, the components of faith. And we're looking at Genesis chapter 12 and the story of Abraham, the father of all who believe. And in this simple story, there are some very vital components to understanding faith. And so as we see that God calls to Abraham, Abraham is living in a place of idolatry in a secular world, and God calls to him. And what God says to him in this story is vital for us to understand faith. And the first thing he says in Genesis 12 and verse 1, he says, leave your country. And I want to camp just for a moment here on this word leave. If you're going to be a person of faith, you have to leave, in a sense. You've got to move from where you are, from some stationary, inert position to a new location. And you have to make a decision that however you have been conducting your life, if you're going to go forward in faith, you have to make a decision to move. And that's something on the inside. That decision to move has to do with accepting the status quo as the way it is, as a fait accompli. This is my life. And this is exactly where Abram was, is that he was living in a place where there was idolatry. And God calls him and he says, his first word is leave. You've got to leave the position that you're in. You say, well, where I'm living in, Pastor, isn't all that bad. Well, if you're going to go to another location, you have to make a decision. Many people want the fruit of faith, but they won't take any step internally or outwardly. You know, you can be spiritually lazy, whereas the Bible says we are to pursue faith. That means you got to move from one location to another. And so God calls Abram here and he says, Abraham, my first word to you is leave. There's got to be a decision inside of you that says, I'm not going to accept where I've been as the place I'm going to live. I'm going to live in a different location. There's going to be some movement from here. And if you're going to grow your faith, that's where it all starts. It's saying, where I have been, it may be good, may be okay, may be blessed, but it's not the end. It's not ultimately the place that God has called me to. I got to leave starting on the inside. I got to make a decision that I'm going to move forward. I want to become a powerful man or woman of faith, that whenever I face in life, I have established a pattern of approaching it with faith that makes a difference. And so you've camped long enough where you've been. It's time to make a decision to go to a new place of faith's expression. As the Bible says, we move from faith to faith to faith to faith. And as we see later on, in order to move from glory to glory, you've got to move from faith to faith. They are inseparably connected. Secondly, God says to Abram, and he says, leave your country. You got to make a decision to move internally, to go to a different location spiritually, mentally, emotionally, intellectually. But he says, I also want you to leave your country. Now, your country is where you live and have been living up to now. I'm not necessarily talking about your natural country, of course, though God may require that, as he did with us. But your country is where you live in terms of your circumstances and how you see life. And so if I can suggest to you, leaving your country, the place where you live, begins with leaving your history. You know, many people are so locked into their past. They think that their future is their past. And if you don't have to talk to them very long, when they tell you about what happened to them when they were this age and that age and what kind of bad family they came from and all the circumstances that have happened and things that took place in their life. And so they're, what are they doing? Presently, they're still living back there. They're still living in yesterday. Whereas Philippians 3:13 says, forgetting those things which are behind. You got to set them aside. The questions you had about yesterday's failures and yesterday's tragedies and the terrible things that happened to you, even though you were a Christian, the question, you got to leave that if you're going to go to a new place. Yes, but I need those questions. Well, stay there. How well are you doing? Not going forward until you get all your questions answered. Leave your history, good and bad, and say, I'm going to go to another place. I'm going to go to another place. And you know, you can find yourself mired in self-pity, even if you're smart enough not to tell other people. You can be singing the blues on the inside. That's not God's plan for you. If you're going to be a powerful person, the person God made you to be, you're going to have to leave your history. You're going to have to say goodbye to yesterday. So inside today, on the inside, say, I'm saying goodbye to yesterday. I want a new dimension of faith, a new expression of faith, a new manifestation of faith. That's who I am. That's where I'm going. I'm leaving something. I'm leaving where I've been living, the country I've been living in. I don't want my country to be defined as the country of yesterday. And you may even need to repent and say, Father, I have not walked by faith. I've walked by rehearsal. I've rehearsed my history. I'm sick and tired of it. Forgive me that I've not walked by faith, which is a sin. Cleanse me. Help me today to make that decision, to jettison yesterday, to leave it fully behind. Say, Lord, I'm going to walk with you. All the success I've had, all the failure I've had, whatever I've had, I'm leaving it behind. I'm going on to another level of faith expression and manifestation in my life. You're the country that you're required to leave can also be your connection to science. You know, man has always sought for solutions. Sometimes God enables him to have solutions that are scientific and that are humanly arrived at. I mean, ultimately, all good knowledge comes from him. And so, but you can actually depend on science rather than on God. And God asks you to move on. You know, in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 26, the Bible speaks of someone who spent all they had on the doctors, but they were still ill. Now, I thank God for doctors. You can ask me, say, Pastor, have you ever been to the doctor? Yes. Have you ever been to the hospital? Yes, I have. And I'm grateful for those who use their education and their insight and their knowledge, but I do know I'm alive today because God has sustained my life. So I'm grateful for all those things. And I'll come back to this subject a little bit further as we go. But I do know this, and I'm sure you know as well, if you put all your weight on science, what weight will you put on the eternal Word of God, the great physician, the one who can carry you when man cannot carry you? Sometimes in life you will require a supernatural remedy. You know, and I've talked to several doctors, as I've explained to you. I worked in a hospital some years ago. Many doctors will tell you that they'll do the best they can. They'll go to the furthest reaches of their insight, their understanding, their knowledge, and their experience. But sometimes they know that that person goes out of the hospital well, not because of what they did, but because someone else intervened. They know it is a miracle. And so it's vital for us, if we're to be a people of faith, we can utilize science. I'm not against that. But ultimately, your confidence has to be in God. It has to be in God. And so sometimes people say, well, what about other people? You know, well, I try to work with whatever is the faith in somebody else. That's why Jesus often asked people when he got ready to heal him, do you believe? And when he encouraged them to believe, and they did believe, then something happened. When they didn't believe, not many mighty miracles were done in some areas because of unbelief. So it's important that we recognize that science and all that the world has to offer is limited. If you want to take advantage of it, take advantage of it. But if God speaks something to you, go with that. I have many testimonies, and I'm sure some of you have many testimonies, in which there wasn't any human solution. In many countries, they don't have access to health care or science of any kind. The only answer they have is like those that were on the radio last night, is divine help. Last night, Pastor Dean and I were on a radio broadcast in Uganda. 500-some people came to know Christ as their Savior. Over 80 people were healed. Why? Because they heard the Word, mixed it with faith, and supernatural power came and altered their health condition. So, I want to encourage you that sometimes you got to leave aside science. Not that you're in any way against scientists or doctors or medicine, any of those things. But ultimately, the great physician is God Himself. His power is in His promises. Part of the leaving is also has to do with your experience. Your experience. If you're going to be a person, a faith person, you got to leave your past experience. You know, there's a saying that says, once bitten, twice shy. Some people believe that's in the Bible. It's not. If you're going to go on to something new, something better, you have to leave your experience, especially where it hasn't been. Well, Pastor, I tried to believe, and I prayed for this person, and they died. I did this, and then that didn't happen, and that didn't happen. I understand all those things. God wants to take you from where you are to a better place. Otherwise, you can unwittingly become someone who says, oh, blessed failure, I worship you, I worship you, I worship you. And you wouldn't do that knowingly, but perhaps unwittingly. That's been your disposition, your outlook, your frame of reference. God calls you out of that. He calls you out of regret and disappointment and failure and says, come on, let's go to a new place. Let's go from wherever your faith is, however little you see. Let's jettison your experience of failure and go on to a place of success. I understand this. I understand the frustration. I understand the disappointment. I prayed for a lot of people. Very few, if any, got well. But there came a day when after I heard from heaven, things begin to change. I'm so glad. As I stand here today, I didn't quit and say, well, I prayed for all these people and none of them got well. I didn't see any supernatural help. I did this, I did that, and it didn't work. It didn't work. It didn't work. It didn't manifest. I went through all of that contradiction. But I thank God today that that promise, call unto me and I will show you great and mighty things you do not know. There is for certain, as sure as God is in heaven, a place of victory and blessing and manifestation for you today as you listen to this message. Regardless of what part of your life there's been failure and disappointment and hurt and contradiction, God wants you to leave all that aside and say, you know, I'm going to go on. I'm going to come to understand how faith works, how it works in me, how it manifests from me, and how this verse behind me, nothing will be impossible, is going to be manifested ever increasingly in my life journey. So it's vital to leave your past experience. Sometimes you have to leave your life pattern. You know, it's amazing you can build habits around unbelief and not realize it. You can build habits of faith or habits of unbelief. They're habits or things you do subconsciously without a lot of conscious, deliberate effort. That's why I said I want you to encourage you to make one of these, which is a conscious deliberate effort to grow your faith. And I'll come back to this because I believe this is a simple but powerful tool to help you and to help me as we move forward. Examine your own lifestyle and ask yourself, what are the first steps I take when trouble comes, when pain comes, when threat comes? What are the first things I do? Is my natural instinct to have a faith, Bible-based, promise-releasing? Is that what comes out of my mouth? Is that the way I think? You know, the Bible talks about no faith, little faith, and great faith. And so we understand there's this progression. If I'm going to be a person of great faith, I got to cultivate the kind of habits that say, whatever I'm looking at in life, whatever I'm looking at in life, I'm going to believe God for a manifestation of the miraculous. That's my inheritance. That's what's called the promised land for a new covenant believer. That's you today. I want to say to you today, regarding those things that have been on your agenda, your list, your checklist of things that you would really love God to deal with in a miraculous way, they're there, and God says his answer is yes. He says, I know the plan I have for you, and that coincides with the needs that you have and the desires that you have that are holy and godly. And he says, my plan is to prosper you. How's that plan going to happen? It's going to happen because you believe the precious and powerful promises of God. That faith capacity that every one of us possesses is released to cause that manifestation to take place. It's vital for us to leave life patterns that are not predicated, not based upon believing the word of the Lord. Now, he also said, I want you to leave some people. I want you to leave some people. The people that you most care about their opinion. I'd like for us to examine 2 Kings 5. We have a great story here of someone who struggled with other people's opinions. 2 Kings 5, and you know the story perhaps. It says, Naaman was the commander of the army of the kings of Aram, and he was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded. So there was a lot of people who were looking at this man. A lot of people that said his name. And when they said his name, it meant something. He had a reputation. And his reputation was a good reputation. The Bible says, because through him, the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. This is a contradiction. I'm out here pursuing the wealth and the prosperity of my nation. I'm leading others into battle, risking my own life. I'm a valiant soldier, but I've got a debilitating condition at the same time. And I can't do anything about it. I can't do anything about it. In those days, there was no cure for leprosy. It progressively destroyed your body until you died. Verse 2 says, now bands from Aram had gone out and taken captive a young girl from Israel. She served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, if only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy. Now just meditate on that phrase by itself. This little servant girl says to her mistress the word of the Lord. Faith comes by hearing. Comes by hearing. This man, Naaman, need to hear something he hadn't heard. Oh, he'd heard lots of things. He heard how great he was and how well he'd done in battle and how God had given him victory and on and on and on. I'm sure he heard lots of stuff, just like you, just like me. But there was something he needed. He needed a hearing that was going to make a difference to a circumstance that required a miracle. He needed a hearing. If he didn't get that hearing, this story would not be the same. I'm saying to you today, there's a hearing that you need to change your story. There's a hearing you need to change your story. God wants to change your story and my story. It'll only be because we get a hearing from heaven. We hear the word of the Lord. Sometimes the word of the Lord comes from a small boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Sometimes it comes from a servant girl who's held in captivity. She said, "If only my master would see the prophet who's in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." Notice what she says. She doesn't say, well, he'd pray for him. He'd bless him. He would be a compassionate minister to him. No, she said, he would cure him. On this side of the cross, would you say that to someone? Would you say it? She did. She said he would cure him of his leprosy. I want to say to you today, that's the word of the Lord to you. God will cure you of whatever leprosy, the leprosy of sin or any other kind of sickness and disease. In fact, even while I'm preaching right now, you're saying, this is a message that God is speaking to me. It's not an accident I'm on this message today. God is speaking to me that he's curing me now. This is the word of the Lord to me. I believe and I receive my healing now because the word of the Lord to me today is God cures, God cures, God cures, God cures my condition. Faith comes by hearing. Now I'm almost finished. I'm not finished. But let's move on a little bit. It says, Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl had said. And he said, by all means, the king of Aram replied, I'll send a letter to the king of Israel. And so Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. And he set off for the NH. No, he set off to see this prophet. You know, what do you have here? Somebody who needs a miracle, and he says, I need to take an offering and bring it to get the miracle. The wonderful thing about the life of faith, it's not based on anything you possess, your history of being a righteous person. It's based on your bringing the only offering you can. That's the offering of your faith. Oh, God may require you to give some money to sow into somebody else if you need a financial miracle. But ultimately, even that act must be an act of faith. An act of believing that God has told you and prompted you to do something. And your obedience is an expression of your faith, as we'll see. So he goes, and you know the story. He takes the letter, and he turns up to the prophet. And he says, as soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he's trying to pick a quarrel with me. He says, when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message. Why have you torn your robes? Make the man come to me and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel. You know, I find that a really challenging statement because I believe that's something that would have been said in Jesus' time. And I believe it's something that should be said progressively in our time. Somebody should be able to come to me or to you, and somebody else should be able to say, you know, if you go to see that person, you'll get healed. You'll get things fixed. They have what you need. It's exactly what Peter said on the day of Pentecost, on the day of Pentecost, when he said, I don't have any silver and gold, but what I have, I give you. I have something that you need. I have a supernatural power and resource that can change your life for the rest of your days. I'm going to give it to you in the name of Jesus. That should be the character and the reputation of the Church of Jesus Christ. It should be my reputation. It should be your reputation. We go from faith to faith. So God wants us all to be people who have that kind of reputation. People who have that kind. We're not concerned about what other people think might happen, as this man, as you know, the story eventually was concerned with. He thought the instruction that he received in order to receive his miracle was beneath him. And so the Bible says, Naaman, he sent him a message, says, Elisha sent the messenger to him and said, go wash yourself seven times in the Jordan, and your flesh shall be restored and you will be cleansed. Your flesh will be restored and you will be cleansed. You know, sometimes in the realm of faith, there are things that bother us. They don't seem sensible or rational or reasonable. And we think that if we do them and other people find out about it, they'll say, you know, you're really stupid. You're really dumb. You're really crazy. If you don't learn to ignore those things and know that the message of faith will sometimes be contrary to natural reasoning. And but Naaman says he goes away angry. Angry. You know, it's a great contradiction. If you got leprosy and somebody says, jump up three times and leap over a table and put your head in the toilet bowl, you know, would you do it? I think that's stupid, Pastor. I wouldn't do that. Carry on with your leprosy then. Carry on. It says, Naaman went away angry and said, I thought. How many times have I thought wrong? I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. God doesn't have to do it your way. He doesn't have to do it in a way that is socially comfortable, rational, and reasonable. He says, are not Arbana and Pharfar, the rivers of Damascus, better than any of the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed? And so he turned and went off in a rage. His faith disappeared. He went in faith, perhaps, but when he got the answer that came, he said, no, that's it. I'm not going that way. I'm not doing that. So if you're going to, and I are going to be people of faith, we got to leave the court of public opinion and hear the voice of God and obey it. I'm not talking about relationally leaving people. I understand it. You know, we all live in relation to other people and everybody has different views and perspectives. I'm not talking about distancing yourself from them. But what I am saying is that you move away from the tendency to think, what will they think? And then make your decision on how you speculate what they might think. And so we're going to close there today. And I'm going to pray. And God's going to work in your behalf. Before we do that today, I want to once again come back to this harvest of miracles. Because that's what God wants to do. He wants to bring forth a harvest of miracles in your life, in your family, in your church, wherever you are, a harvest of miracles. Not just the one here and there, little ones here and there, but a harvest of miracles. And so in this series, I want you to encourage you to make one of these journals, because faith in the Bible is fundamentally, as the Scripture teaches us, it comes in six ways. Six ways. It's taught and caught from the Scriptures in six ways. And we'll go into this more in detail, but this is part of my encouragement to you to take deliberate, measured, determined steps to grow your faith. You can't expect any greater manifestation if you say, well, I'm not going to pursue faith. I'll just, you know, if it happens, it happens. You won't. You won't. God says, if you want to ask for wisdom, I'll give you wisdom. God's given you wisdom today. Six ways in which faith is taught and caught in the Scriptures. One, you got to hear it. Number two, you got to see it. Number three, you need to read it. Number four, you say it. And number five, you record it. Number six, you do it. And I'll go into all of those, God willing, next week. But those are six ways in which you develop the faith life. And so I want to encourage you to do that. And this is part of it, writing it down. Writing it down. God commanded Israel to record His marvelous works. I wish I had done this years and years ago. I'm going to put stuff in it because I want others to read and benefit. And I want to benefit in it simply because I've done it. And I want to go into this particular fundamental biblical principle so you can understand that rehearsing the works of God and giving to the next generation comes straight out of the Bible and is part of that which generates a sustaining of your faith in the God that is in your present and in your future. Let us pray. Father, thank you that you come to us in these days and you prepare us, Lord, for the harvest that's coming. You prepare us for the outpourings of the Holy Spirit that are coming in our world. Thank you, Lord, for that outpouring. Thank you for that harvest. But Lord, we ask, even as we stand in your presence today, for there to be a resurgence of commitment, desire, longing, and pursuit of faith in our lives, that we might please you with our faith. Sometimes, Lord, we think that we please you strictly with obedience. Oh, no, we please you with faith. Even our obedience has to be based in faith. Lord, we want to please you with faith. And so I speak today to all those that perhaps are watching or listening to this message. You're listening to this message because today God comes with the same word that he came to that servant girl who passed it eventually to Naaman. I want to cure whatever is going on in your life. In Jesus' name, I speak and command provision from a God who says, I will supply, I will prosper you. You will be in health. I command your health, your provision, your restoration, divine intervention in that circumstance right now that has terrorized your mind. In Jesus' name, you are hearing the word of the Lord that makes the difference. Your provision is not somewhere afar off. It's at your door. In Jesus' name, receive it. In Jesus' name, receive your healing now in your body, in your joints. I command the arthritis to go. In your heart, I command the arrhythmia to cease. In your blood pressure, I command it to normalize in Jesus' name. I command sickle cell to go in Jesus' name. I command dementia to go in Jesus' name. Receive the word of the Lord today and receive the manifestation of your faith in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.